And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Good morning.
Silas were beaten and imprisoned. That's found in Acts chapter 16.
So knowing that these Christians are going through severe and extreme persecution and suffering, Paul then writes these words here in chapter 4. Don't be anxious. Don't be worrying about such things. Paul didn't write those words when things were going well. Paul was in prison himself at the time that he wrote this letter to the Philippians. And so these Christians are likely being beaten. They're maybe being arrested when Paul was writing these things to them. And he's saying, I know things are hard. I know you're being persecuted. I know you're being roughed up. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry too much about it. So how are these Christians supposed to do this, considering what they are experiencing? How are they not to be anxious despite all this that was going on in their lives? So if we begin at verse 4 of the passage that Jim read for us in chapter 4, we can understand about the whole picture of what Paul is talking about here. In verse 4, he tells them to always rejoice. It's almost as if he knows this is such a surprising declaration or something that they weren't expecting, that he says it again. Again, I say, rejoice. It's easy for us to say this morning when Mike said, I don't see a lot of stressed faces. It's easy for us to say, oh, well, the next time trouble comes along, I'm going to rejoice. But that is what he tells us to do. He says to rejoice in the Lord. We need to look at what we have to do that rejoicing. You don't rejoice about something that you're not happy about or that you don't appreciate. I didn't rejoice the COVID the virus that went around, and it wasn't something to rejoice. But when we look at what we have in the Lord and what the Lord has given to us, we can rejoice. And that shouldn't matter, and that shouldn't differ based upon the circumstances in which we find ourselves at that time. We may be in circumstances where here on this earth we won't find many things to be rejoicing about, but the Lord is someone and something that we can rejoice about regardless of what's going on. And so we look past the circumstances that we are going through and we focus on something that's good. I'm sure you've all heard the phrase, we should find our happy place. I was asked one time, what's your happy place? I like watching snowfall. And I just said, just sitting at the window, watching the snowfall. And that's a happy place kind of for me. Well, this is our happy place that we all can share. We all should have in common. The Lord being good to us and us having the privilege of being considered part of his body, and the salvation that he obtained for us should make us always rejoice. And so Paul would also tell the Romans in Romans chapter 8, 35-39, he's saying, Christians, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus. Not distress, not famine, not persecution, not anger. Nothing of any difficulty can separate us from Jesus and God the Father. And so we are always able to have that as a baseline. Shelley sees this a lot in her job in the retirement facility she works in. And I know when my mom had broken it, well, she broke three hips. She grew a third one just to break it again. So, but she spent time in some rehab facilities, and you'd hear these older people crying for their mother and their father. And one time my mother asked, why don't they call for their husband or their wife or whatever the case may be? And the response was, well, your mother and your father, that is the deepest thing ingrained in you. From the beginning, your mother and your father are who you know. Well, we should have this same thought when it comes to the Father in heaven. That's what we know. And when we are crying out to someone, that should be who we cry out to. And so we have something in Christ far more valuable than any distress that we may be facing here in our lives. Going to verse 5, he tells us, let people see your reasonableness. I think Jim's passage said moderation or something along those lines. Other translations read gentleness or graciousness. Well, what this means is that when you're going through trouble, and if you don't Just totally break down and let it consume you. And you can be rejoicing, or at least be showing that stiff upper lip, whatever the case, that term you may want to use. People will notice that. They'll say, well, why aren't you really, just stressing out about this? And they're going to see that during times of chaos, you respond in a reasonable manner, in a gentle manner, in that you're going to, hopefully, if you apply this passage, you will take it in a much calmer fashion. When the world panics, we shouldn't. We have faith in the Father in heaven who loves us. Talked last week about consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the of the air. He takes care of them. He'll take care of us. And so we should not become irrational when the rest of us around us are irrational. And the reason why we should be reasonable is what the rest of verse 5 says. We know the Lord is near, and in that we need to rejoice. And we are able to be reasonable. If the world turns upside down all around us, we can be thankful because the Lord is near us, and knowing that should make more sense when we see what Paul says in verse 6. In verse 6, he tells us that we should handle our anxiety. So we come to verse 6, which tells us not to be anxious about anything. So what are we supposed to do when we feel worried and when we feel very, very, very anxious? What are we supposed to do when fear overwhelms us? Well, since the Lord is near, we are to use prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27 says, "But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Paul says to pray, and if we pray, and we know that we're turning it over to God, then we shouldn't be worried. If we have true faith that the Lord will help us, that's what we should be doing. So, like I mentioned last week, we talked about how worry doesn't really accomplish anything. It doesn't change anything. If anything, it just feeds into your anxiousness and your anxiety. Instead of worrying, we should pray and let our requests be known to God. Paul says that you need to give your anxiety, your anxiousness, over to God. Give your worry to Him, and as soon as you feel anxiety, lean on the Lord to help us. That's what we have to do when we feel that worry start to begin. We have to give that over to Him. So we need to think about this. Prayer is one way of showing that we are trusting in God. If we don't pray when we feel worried and feel our stress begin to rise, and then we're saying that, well, yes, it's rough, but we can handle this ourselves. And prayer is critical because it shows that we believe that not only that the Lord is near, but that He's willing and is able to care for us. Prayer is how we transfer our worries to Him and ask Him to take care of what it is in our lives that we may be struggling with. But notice that Paul says to present your request with thanksgiving. Without thanksgiving, our request might be just really whiny. Why is this happening to me? Why can't we get what we want? Why? It's just whining. Prayer is not telling God what He needs to do for you and for me. It's not saying, hey, Lord, if this is the outcome, that would really be what I would want. That's not how prayer works. It's not an avenue for complaint, and it's not an avenue for perfect outcomes. Prayer is asking God about our concerns and telling Him that we believe that He cares and that He will help us. Once again, that's really easy to think about on a Sunday morning. It's when we are really in the thick of whatever we're dealing with that we need to keep this in mind. Turning it over to Him and believing that He cares and believing that He will help. Because anxiety and continuing to be consumed by your anxiety is showing that we may have a lack of trust that God cares and will do that for us. So prayer indicates that we trust that God will take care of us, and that really we need to think about it. we shouldn't think that there's anything too small. Well, this is just a minor irritant. It's just a report I have to have done by the end of tomorrow, and I haven't even begun on, whatever the case may be. There's nothing too small as we believe that the Lord is near. And so tell God about what is causing you stress, what's causing you anxiety, and give that over to Him. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, Peter talks about this. He says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you." Peter's saying the same thing that Paul is saying here in Philippians. Throw all your anxieties on Him, not just some of them. Some of them may be small. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to bother the Lord with that. No, throw all of them. If it's causing you stress, it may be taking your, it is taking the attention that you should have on your faithfulness, the ability to resist temptation, or peace, that all may be compromised if you're worrying about something. And so Peter's saying, God cares, so give to Him what it is you're worried about. But notice more about what God said. Casting your cares on God is humility. We have to humble ourselves to do that, though. God isn't just saying, God to us shouldn't just be, "Oh, I've got a problem, He'll take care of it." And we have to humble ourselves. "Lord, I need you. I need the help." We need to be able to humble ourselves when we throw our anxieties His way. And we have to go to Him in earnest prayer and ask for His help. And then verse 7, there's a promise that God gives, and it's that we should expect peace. "Give your request to God, and His peace will guard your hearts and minds." When you're anxious about something, when you're stressed about something, that should be what we need to hear. We need to be aware of that. When we're anxious, we do not have peace. What's the opposite of peace? That's what we have. When we're worried about something, we have no peace. We have no peace during that stressful time. So God says that if you will see that God is near, and if you'll see that He cares for you, and you humble yourselves, and you throw your anxieties His way, He will give you peace. I think I've told this story before. This was years ago. We were looking to buy a used car. We went to a dealership, and it was actually, I think, on Labor Day weekend, now that I think about it. We went on a Saturday, Sunday, looked at it, but the banks were closed over the holiday weekend, and it was going to be Tuesday morning until the banks could open and maybe try to look at some financing, whatever the case may be. But he said, someone else is looking at this car, and I remember I prayed to the Lord, if this is causing me some stress, if this is not what I need to be worrying about, if this isn't the car for me, I prayed, can I just come off a car that I thought was a good car and it had broken down? And it was going to cost me too much to fix it. And I said, "Please don't put me in another situation where I'm going to have to be looking at repairing it, having a big expense." So the day after Labor Day, when the guy called me and said that the other person bought the car, and I started to get irate, I remembered my prayer. And it's amazing how this level of peace came over me. And I'm like, you know what? That car might not have been the one for me. I asked for Him to help me with that. And I did feel that just wash over me. And I just said, "Thanks so much. I appreciate looking into it," or whatever. And so that's what it is. When you pray and you really give your worry to God, you're going to know His peace. Many times, we just say a quick little prayer before we are about to do something, and we can have peace, and we can have the proper mindset to handle whatever it is that we are going through. Now, one thing we have to notice is what this promise is. The promise is not that God will fix it, and He'll fix it in the way we want, but God may not fix it the way we want, but we can be assured that He will give us peace if we cast our worries towards Him. So just our conclusion, so we need to look back to the big question that we should be asking ourselves when we find ourselves stressing. What is God telling us, and what is God showing us in our lives? Is He What is God showing our trust to be in? If we trust God, then we can rejoice. If we trust God, we can be reasonable. If we trust God, we can use prayer to bring our worries to Him. If we trust God, we can expect His peace. And if we trust God and put our mind on His things, then He will help us through those times. So tell God what you need and thank Him for all this, that He's done. Pray about everything, worry about nothing, because God is near and He cares for us. Like I said, Mike will be here next week. I'm not sure what his topic is, but at this time, Brother Jose will lead us in a word of prayer, and we'll begin our class.